You're listening to the Legal Curve post-game podcast for Saturday, March 5th. Jets against the Habs at MTS Center. And, you know, for a season that has been disappointing and for a building that has been, you know, probably lacking a little bit of life just based on the fact that the season has been disappointing and the Jets are out of the playoff race, the atmosphere at MTS Center on Saturday night was great. You know, you had the Habs in town. You had a lot of Montreal fans. Probably 15-20% of MTS Center was Habs fans, and I think that kind of got the Jets fans a little bit of energy and got them kind of back to their normal selves, and the life was in the building really since, you know, beginning with warm up with a bunch of Habs fans down low to watch the Montreal Canadiens in their only appearance at MTS Center this year, and then the Jets came out, and I thought overall the Jets came out and they played with, yeah, it's kind of similar. I thought a little more passion, but I thought they played well against Florida and the Islanders and deserved better than the 1 point they earned against those two teams. And the win tonight in the 64th game of the year was a 4-2 victory for the Winnipeg Jets. We'll go goal by goal in a second to some shot information. The shots were 29-28 for the Jets, so pretty even on that front. Penalty-wise, Jets had two penalties and the Habs had three. All were minor penalties. So you saw five power plays in tonight's game. But they're pretty well officiated, not over-officiated, and that's usually the way I like to watch a game. Let's start with the first goal of the game. And boy, I mean, we talked about it this morning on the Leo Herve Hockey Show. PK Subban and his omission from the World Cup, the Team Canada entry into the World Cup of Hockey, and you know there's been a lot of eyebrows raised based on his lack of inclusion in the lineup, and I think you really saw here why he's not in the lineup. And in this goal, you had PK Subban coming off of a long power play shift. He goes back into his own zone after the power play has expired. He was on the power play, and he pulls a nice spin move around Mark Scheifele. So already there, I mean, he pulls that spin move fairly often, but already there you're thinking, like, why is he pulling some fancy move? He's been on the ice for 2 minutes already. You know, get off the ice. Just make a pass. Get off the ice. Make sure the puck's out of your own zone and, you know, in safe area. Get off the ice. He doesn't do that. And not only does he pull the spin around on Scheifele, the first time it works and it's a nice move, it gets the crowd going, but he tries to beat Scheifele again, showing you that the kind of spin around that he pulled the first time, pulled him sideways, and he tries to beat Scheifele again at the blue line, his own blue line. Turns the puck over. And Scheifele walks in, or skates in, good quickness, good certainly speed, and he's really improved his skating, Mark Scheifele. He wasn't a bad skater before, but he's gotten more powerful and faster. He's able to create some separation from a tired Subban, and goes backhand on Mike Condon, 1-0. So really good persistence by Scheifele on this play. And we'll talk more about Scheifele later, just the development of Mark Scheifele. But boy, PK Subban, I mean, you cannot be making decisions like that. And that's really what I'm getting at, is decision-making. I mean, if you're playing for the World Cup of Hockey, can you make, a decision at a time when the coach needs to be able to trust you? And with the depth on the right side of Team Canada, and, you know, Shea Weber, who I'm not maybe as high on as some, you know, Alex Pietrangelo, and you can go on and on and on down the list. Chris Letang, who also thinks a risky player. You know, it's there is depth there. And Brent Seabrook, and Drew Doughty, of course, being the number one guy. So you got to make sure you can carve out a spot and become more dependable. So certainly he brings a ton of great things to the table, and I really do like his game. But this was tonight was one of those games where he tried to do too much, and PK Subban's at an age now where he can't continue to try to do too much. The end of first period, I should have mentioned, the end of the first period, the score was tied 0-0. The Jets outshot the Habs 8-4. Just digressing for a second, Jets outshot the Habs 8-4, probably from the 15-minute to the 5 to the 15-minute mark. Nothing happened. I mean, very little in terms of flow, very little in terms of crisp passes. The first period was a snoozer. That goal, 4-10, Scheifele's 18th of the year, and I just discussed that kind of got everybody into the game. You think the Jets maybe get some momentum. They didn't. Alex Galchenyuk scores only a minute 13 later at 5:23 in the second period at even strength. His 20th goal of the year. his numbers actually almost mirroring Scheifele in terms of goals. Galchenyuk is 20th of the year for Max Pacioretty, already I thought played a good game. And Mark Barberio, I pronounced his name wrong. On this goal here, you have Paul Postma. He's trying to carve out a kind of a role for himself on the bottom pairing here. He has trouble on the breakout on the left side, and then he fires a puck around the right side. What ends up happening is that Alex Burmistrov is in the position kind of where Perreault usually would be. In this case, I believe Perreault's on the ice, and he is. And so he's along the boards, and he doesn't pick the puck up. It's tough along the boards. He doesn't at least protect the puck, and it pops out. Maybe an unfamiliar spot for him, kind of being that natural center. And when he's in that on that wing, you don't have anybody switching. So Joel Armia, I guess, is the first guy, is the lowest guy in the zone on that play. And I should correct myself. Armia usually would be in that position. So you have Burmistrov in Armia's position, and then Armia is kind of confused as to where to be, and he's in an unfamiliar spot. And because he's in an unfamiliar spot, that does cause some problems. And then you have Armia and Burmistrov end up being high. The puck pops out off of the boards when it's rung around by Postma, and then you have three halves going against two Jets. Those two Jets are Sherratt and Postma. Sherratt and Postma end up going to the same guy. That's Max Pacioretty, and wide open in front of the net is Alex Galchenyuk for a one-time goal. A beautiful pass by Pacioretty. I mean, top-end play by Max Pacioretty. But just some execution problems there in terms of the Jets. The first time around trying to break it out, and the next play being out of position and not having the right guys and guys not being in the right situation. So the Jets give it right back. The rest of the second period is pretty uneventful. I'd say 15-11 were the total shots in the second period. The second period ended 1-1. So the total shots after two were 19-19, and the score was 1-1. And you had, so obviously some similar statistics there. Coming into the third period, you know, both of these teams, I don't think the Habs really think they have a realistic chance of making the playoffs. So both of these teams kind of have nothing to lose, and you saw a little bit of flow, a little more flow and energy in the game in the third period. 5:57 into the third period, the Jets get the lead. Even strength goal. All the goals today were even strength. Andrew Kopp scores his third of the year, so he's getting a little hot here. A couple goals in the past couple games from Ben Sherratt and J.C. Lapointe there, so you get your kind of your AHL guys going. And I really liked, you know, I mentioned AHL guys, and I don't mean that in a derogatory way. I thought really here on this shift, you know, we'll talk about the goal, but really I like the breakout. I thought the breakout was really good by this line, by this five-man unit, and we're talking by a five-man unit. On this goal, I'm talking about Andrew Kopp, Matt Halaschuk, J.C. Lapointe, and Paul Postma and Ben Sherratt. So, you know, really a lot of you guys, that are really your depth guys or your minor league guys during the year, at least coming into the year. But they had nice execution on the breakout, and they get after it on the forecheck. J.C. Lapointe, Andrew Kopp, and Matt Halaschuk. And because they do that, they're able to get the puck, pressure the Habs, and the puck pops out to Sherratt at the blue line. And, you know, a pretty harmless shot here, but he puts a tippable shot, and Andrew Kopp called for this. You know, he's calling with his stick on the ice there, slapping his stick on the ice, little beaver tail, and he tips the puck kind of from the high slot past Mike Condon. So just this is one of those plays where, you know, you say, okay, well, it's simple. It could happen on any play of the game. Sure, but if you execute breakouts and execute forechecks well, you give yourself simple opportunities to score goals, and I thought that was a nice execution by the Jets on this goal. Jets are up 2-1. So the beginning of the third, just before the 10-minute mark, 9:44 in to the third period, the Habs get it back, and the Jets have had a tendency to be giving pucks back, goals back, excuse me. Alex Galchenyuk scored his 21st of the year on this one from Greg Patarin, and again, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly, and Max Pacioretty. This play starts from Patarin in his own zone, making kind of a scoop pass out to Pacioretty in stride. Pacioretty is able to kind of grab the puck, doesn't get penalty for closing his hand, but probably close in stride, and is able to get a little bit of a step, and Pacioretty skates well on Dustin Byfuglien. Pavlik makes a nice save, kind of on the scramble in front, on this kind of partial breakaway, I guess it was. And then it's a spinorama by Pacioretty, and a really nice save by Pavlik. So what happens here, though, is the Jets come all the way back to support, and you end up having five Jets too low in the zone. So when the puck comes back to Patarin, who made the pass initially, you have five Jets basically below the defensive zone face-off dots. And so Patarin has the puck up the point, and he's got a ton of time, and he's able to take a low, hard shot that's tipped by Alex Galchenyuk, who located himself in the slot, kind of between Mark Scheifele and Drew Stafford, and was able to tip the puck in. No chance for Pavlik there, 2-all. You know, I mentioned that all the Jets were too far back. In reality, Patarin, or Patarin, again, however you pronounce his name, that's really Stafford's guy. And Drew Stafford comes too low kind of to help in a panic. And then when he's, you can see he kind of notices and he's kind of coming out to the defender, but he's too late. And then he's kind of in between them in no man's land. And then he doesn't even take Galchenyuk, and Scheifele was trying to cover for him. So I guess Stafford probably would like to take at least a stick away from Galchenyuk. He isn't able to do that. And it's 2-all. So you come in and you know, you get a feeling that the Jets are due. There's just a kind of different feeling in the arena today. Playing better, just really deserve to get the win. And they get the game, the leading goal, 3-2, Mark Scheifele. And then the Jets are able to get on the board with the biggest goal of the game, Mark Scheifele once again. He has been dynamic lately. And taking the next step, I'm sure we'll talk about it on NHL this week and on the Legal Curve Hockey Show more extensively. But he's just, I mean, exceeded my expectations. I'm not going to pretend I expected Mark Scheifele to be as good as he's become this quickly. Even if at all, I mean, based on the way he's trending right now, just really impressive play. And on this goal here, and the third goal for the Jets, and the winning goal of the game-winning goal by Mark Scheifele, his 19th of the year, 13:01 from Drew Stafford, his 15th assist, and Tobias Enstrom. Yeah, before I talk about Scheifele again, you see the value in Tobias Enstrom, and I know I kind of maybe vouch for him sometimes maybe more often than others, but you have Enstrom in the neutral zone. He's regrouping. He makes a pass to Buffalo, and he gets the puck back. He's able to skate the puck through the neutral zone and back off the defenders a bit and drop the puck to Drew Stafford. He's playing on his left side. It doesn't look all that comfortable on his left side necessarily, Stafford, but Enstrom drops the puck, kind of drives the defenseman a little bit back. I think it might have been Barberio, I forget who it was, but he drives the defenseman a little bit back, and when he does that, he gives Stafford some room. And when Stafford has a little bit of room, Mark Scheifele coming in with speed behind the Habs defense, he's able to get behind Andre Markov, who has really no speed anymore, and Stafford threads a beautiful pass, tippable pass, and Scheifele beats Markov, gets to the spot, and has a beautiful tip, and it's a goal. So excellent execution there, and that's not a simple play. And the Jets' goal before was execution on a simple play. This was execution on a tremendously talented play. Enstrom to Buffalo, and Enstrom to pass to Stafford, to pass to Scheifele. That's a skill play, a skill goal, a well-deserved goal. Gives the Jets the lead. And then 19:31 at even strength, but an empty net goal. Mark Scheifele sets the house on fire with his first career hat trick. A scoop pass from Buffalo. That Scheifele was able to beat PK Subban too, and boy, that kind of just summed up the game. Scheifele greater than Subban, I guess, would be that kind of quote today. Scheifele beat Subban to the puck, and he gets a hat trick. Place goes crazy. Jets win 4-2. Well deserved win, for the Winnipeg Jets. And I thought Andrei Pavlik, by the way, after kind of fighting the puck early in the game, that was really good. Two goals and 28 shots. Mike Conn. Three goals allowed on 28 shots, and some other significant ice times here that you probably want to know about. Jets ice time leader Dustin Byfuglien with a cool 29 minutes and 24 seconds. I don't think there's anybody even close to him. Enstrom plays 23:30. That's as close as you're going to get. So basically, he plays 6 minutes more than any other teammate. He was terrific tonight. Dustin Byfuglien was really good over in Montreal on the back end and overall ice time. Overall ice time leader was PK Subban for the Habs, 26:24. At forward for the Jets, the least ice time leader was Blake Wheeler, 21:54. He played a real good game, didn't get a point, but doesn't mean that he didn't play an effective game. And then you have, on the Habs side, you have their best forward tonight. You could argue it was probably Patrick Reddy or Galchenyuk, but Galchenyuk played 20 minutes. And 1 second, two goals, and he was leading ice time for the Habs. So, lively game here at MTS Center tomorrow night. Connor McDavid makes his MTS Center debut. So, hopefully, you'll tune in to listen to that post game podcast. Have a good night.